Today on Real Radio.
At some moment, at some point in time, the scale tipped in Judas's life and he had gone too far. Church, did you know that's true in the lives of human beings today?
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative. We're looking at 10 verses in chapter 22, which give an account of some of the final events in the few hours before the Messiah's execution. Judas is mentioned in the text as well, providing for us a valuable example of a false follower of our Lord. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his mini-series called You and a Judas.
We've struggled, and we will struggle, but a Judas simply gives up. Jesus says in verse 46, "Why do you sleep, disciples? Peter, James, John, why are you sleeping? Arise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." I'm going to ask all of you to write this down. You got to write this down. This is good stuff. Number one, temptation will never leave you and I. Ever. It is part of this world. It's part of our flesh. Temptation. It's what we battle with our minds, temptation. It will never leave us. I told you guys before, but maybe you missed it. Years ago, we had a man who started out with us in this church, a retired Baptist preacher, wonderful man of God. For those of you, you already know who I'm talking about. Dear Ken was an amazing man of God. When I say was, he's with the Lord now. And he was 96 years old when he approached me in my office with tears in his eyes, and he said, "I need prayer." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "I've been having lustful thoughts of young girls in my mind." 96 years old. And when I heard that, my heart sunk within me. Because I thought, you know what? Maybe, I don't know, after 50, all that temptation is going to go away. Maybe I'm going to be tempted to buy white shoes and golf in Palm Springs with a Cadillac. Is that the will it shift from that to the other? And he said, "No." Because in your heart and in your mind, you're still about 21, aren't you, in your head? Let's be honest. That's how you and I get hurt. We jump over the fence because we thought we could, because our mind said, "We can do it." And our body says, "Nah, we ain't going to do it." You think young, but we're no longer young. But nothing in the way of temptation will ever leave us. So Jesus said, here's the way you combat temptation. You got to pray. You got to be a person of prayer. It's pretty hard to be yielding to temptation when you're in an attitude of prayer. We talked about that last time. Because if you're in an attitude of prayer, then you are constantly, listen, inviting Jesus to handle what you're handling, inviting Jesus to hear what you hear, inviting Jesus to see what you see. That's a powerful thing in our day and age. In fact, listen to this. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, "How can a young man cleanse his way?" Ooh, let's translate that to this age. How can a young man stay out of internet pornography, which he has no idea will ruin his marriage in future years? He doesn't have a clue. How does a young man stay out of the way of ungodly ambitions? How does a young man cleanse his way, says the scripture? Here's the answer: by taking heed according to God's word. If a young man reads the Bible, guess what? He is going to have a way that is blessed by God. He is going to stay out of trouble because, listen, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, uses the Word of God, the Bible. And the Holy Spirit will speak to that young man and say, "Young man, turn your eyes away. Young man, get your hands out of that area. Young man, turn your feet and run." Think about it. Did not Joseph have the Word of God in his heart? Did not Joseph run from Potiphar's wife? On and on it goes. Oh, our young men and women today need to know that the Word of God will steer them through this very devilish age that you and I live in. He says, lest you enter into temptation. See, temptation's always there. You and I are not to enter it. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Boy, we could talk for months on that one. What does our mind take in? What are we processing all the time in our head? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. That's the new life in true righteousness and holiness. Right now, the astronauts are walking around out there in space. If you're a nut like I am, I have the NASA channel on my DirecTV. And Lisa looks at me, she'll see it on, and it's stone silent. And all you hear is, turn off, and I'm like this. She walks into the room, she looks at the TV, NASA.com television. She looks at me and she just goes, sick. Right now, there are guys out there like this. And they're working. They're in space. Not really. What? They're in space. Not really. So what do you mean by that? Just as the Bible says right here that we're to put on the new man, which was, mind you, past tense. Are you a Christian today? Mm-hmm. Listen, your faith, your life, your Christianity was created already in the image of Christ. So what does that mean? That means we need to stop whimpering around and dragging our mug around town like we're just constantly defeated and get up and watch and walk in Christ because it's already been done. We need to walk into it. See, what does that have to do with these astronauts? It has everything to do with it. Because an astronaut is never really in space. He's in a suit that allows him to go into space. He's still in a suit. And you know what's inside that suit? It's like 78 degrees. He's got air in there, breathing just like he was here at home. He's got his little world where he came from all wrapped around him as he now goes out into a foreign world. He's in it, but he's not exactly in it. Are you a Christian today? Yep. Then guess what? You are now in Christ. You are out in this world. You are a Christian, but the world is not to have a grip on your life. You go every day into a foreign realm, an outer space, Twilight, X-File, freaky world, a lost world, a world where people don't know Jesus, a world where people are hurting, and you are now in Christ, which means if you're in Christ, then Christ is bigger than you. It means that Christ is on the outside of you. It means that if wherever you go, you're to bring love to people, forgiveness to people, grace to people, righteousness to people, holiness to people. You don't have to be holy like put your hair in a bun, take your makeup off, wear black, and what? And you're holy now, see? That's not how it works. Put your spacesuit on and get into that freaky world. Here comes Uncle John. He's going to talk about all this stuff, and the guy never stops cussing. Uncle John is in that foreign world that you and I once used to live in. Don't get upset with Uncle John. What, your little virgin ear is going to fall off your head because Uncle John cusses? Uncle John's lost. Love him. You're in a spacesuit. Your ears won't fall off. So many Christians, oh man, here comes my aunt. I think she's a hooker. Well, who cares if she is? Love her. What are you going to do as a Christian? You're going to take your little spacesuit and sit in the corner? I'm not going to contaminate my life. Get into their world, and you don't stoop down into their world. You've got Jesus around you, man. Take Jesus out there and talk to them and love them and let them see what a real Christian is. It's a big difference. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship created, past tense, it's already been done, in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So put your space suit on, put your Jesus suit on, and get out there. You see, a Christian thinks like this and understands this, but not a Judas. No, not a Judas. In Philippians 3:18, this is a Judas. Philippians 3:18, mark it down. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and even now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Why? They have no spacesuit around them. They've got no Jesus. The difference between you and a Judas, point number 7 is, you've continued on. You have continued on in your Christianity, but a Judas slips away. A Judas always, always finds a way to be too busy, too occupied, to be too involved, to be on the go. Judas is nowhere to be found. He left the upper room. He's doing his devilish deed. He's planning the betrayal of Jesus Christ. And he's busy doing evil. But not you. Christian, you've continued with Jesus. I didn't say it's easy, but you've continued. The Bible says in verse 47 here that while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, and I stopped right there in my notes, one of the 12. That's haunting. The Christian thinks like this. Mark it down. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples turned back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Do you want to leave me too? But Simon Peter answered Jesus and said, Lord, listen everybody, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Isn't that not awesome? Can you say that today? Look, I'm not saying let's put a scale and see how your prayer is going, see how your giving is going, see how your witnessing is going. I'm not saying that. I'm going to ask you a simple question. Forget all that stuff. I'm asking you this. When Jesus turns to you today and says, will you leave me also? Are you going to cut out too? Are you going to ditch class? Peter says, you know what? I got something to say. I'm sure all the disciples cringed. Here he goes again. Peter's going to say something royally stupid like he always does. Not this time. In a moment of amazing inspiration from heaven above, Peter says, you're the Christ. You give eternal life. You're the one. Where are we going to go? And not only that, you're the Son of God. We believe in you. Can you say that today? Are you able to say that today? I don't mean with your lips. I mean, can you say it today with the entire man of who you are, the entire woman of who you are? You see, my friend, this settles everything, because when some charlatan comes to town or some false prophet or some goofball thing, some new religion introduced either on Oprah Winfrey or on the internet, you'll be able to say, you know what? That's nuts. That is false. Peter says, where are we going to go? I hope you're all there. I hope you can all say today, man, you know what? I can't slip away because Jesus, he's the only one that makes the offer that he does. And you know that's true. You can be here today and be a complete anti-Christian, and you have to confess this. When you read the words of Jesus, they are pretty awesome. When he says to me, man, if your burden is really heavy and hard and it's killing you, why don't you give it to me? I'll carry your load for you. Pretty awesome when the Bible says, when Jesus says, you know what? If anybody comes to me for forgiveness, I'll never turn them away. Wow. He alone has the words of eternal life. John 15:3 says, as Jesus spoke to the disciples, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Isn't that beautiful? From this time forth, start speaking like Jesus speaks. Start speaking life to people. Say, well, Pastor, I've got a relative or I have a friend who's living a terrible life. They're godless and they're going to die in their sins. Then do you really care about them, really? Then listen, buy them a cup of coffee. Take them out. Take them for a walk and tell them, listen, you may never talk to me again. Look, I'm going to tell you something, which I've done many times. Listen, the reason why we're here right now, you may never speak to me again. I give you free opportunity to get up and leave at any time with what I'm about to tell you. And what I'm about to tell you is a big deal. It's heavy. Well, all of a sudden, they're totally prepared. What is it? You tell them, listen, I've been praying for you for a long time. And you know, I know, other people know that you've been doing this, this, or this. And I am not to judge you. The Bible says I'm to look at the fruit of your life. But I cannot judge you. Only God judges you. But the Bible does say that if you keep living like this, you will wind up lost from God. And I just want you to know, again, you'll never talk to me again, I'm sure, after this, but Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead. He wants to forgive you of your sins, but you love your sins more than you love God, and you're in trouble, and I'll always be there for you, and if you want to leave right now, go ahead and leave. I've never had anyone get up and leave. But if you love them, you got to tell them. Why? Because he alone has the words of eternal life. Judas doesn't care about that stuff. Judas is looking at his watch right now. He's wondering, when's this guy going to be quiet so I can get out of here? The Bible? Buy a Bible and read it? Why would I want to do that? That's how Judas thinks. Hey, what's in it for me? Very serious. See, a Judas says things and does things like this. Mark 14:10. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them. And when he heard it, or when they heard it, they were glad. Can you imagine what they thought? What a dope! This guy that's in the inner circle with Jesus wants to betray him. Boy, this is fantastic. And they promised to give him money. So he sought how he might, Judas sought how he might conveniently betray him. That word means that he was stalking for the moment. Point number 8, the difference between you and a Judas is this. You've humbled yourself. You've humbled yourself to know the Lord. You've humbled yourself to be here today. You've humbled yourself to say, I don't want to live my life for myself. I want God to live his life in and through me. Verse 47 goes on. He who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, that is the crowd that he was leading out, to Jesus, and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. Number 1, look at it. Judas took the lead. Number 2, he got really close. Number 3, this is sickening, he kissed Jesus. Is there any record in the New Testament of any other disciple kissing Jesus? Maybe there is. I can't think of one. To be so close to him. And how do you kiss someone on the cheek like that? How do you do that? First of all, Judas is leading the crowd of betrayal. He gets up there close enough. Okay, so he somehow maneuvers all of the security and all of the ushers that Jesus must have. He gets right up there and he gets up there and he kisses and no one thinks anything's wrong. It kind of leads you to think that Judas seemed to have almost an inside track to Jesus. No one freaked out. Peter didn't say, hey, you weirdo, get away from him. None of that. With a kiss. What a betrayal. At some moment, at some point in time, the scale tipped in Judas's life, and he had gone too far. Church, did you know that's true in the lives of human beings today? You can say no. Listen, right now today, you might be saying no to Jesus. I will not become a Christian. I will not believe that Jesus died and rose again from the grave for my sins. I will not let him be God in my life. I will not let him be the Lord of my life. I will not trust him for my eternal life. No, I don't need forgiveness. No. You can say that today, and you might be still okay, meaning there may be hope for you still. Or you may be here today, and this is the last day you'll ever hear it. Did you know that there's literally a moment in time when God says, that's it, and the scale of reason and of logic, are you guys watching? Watch my hands. This is the person's brain. This is their thinking. This is their thought process. Literally, there comes a point in time based upon the book of Romans chapter 1 that a person says no to God the last, final time. And it goes like this. Their logic and thinking tips. Boom! All to one side. And God says, that is a reprobate mind. God says, I give it over to their own desires, their own self. God says, I give them over to what they want. Do you remember when Pharaoh, the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart? And then it says, then God hardened Pharaoh's heart? God didn't harden Pharaoh's heart until Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Do you remember when Noah was building the ark for how many years? 120 years. Building the ark, preaching the gospel, says the New Testament, Noah did. Until the day Noah entered the ark. What happened? Everybody who was left outside the ark, the scale tipped. When you make this one final decision, you've said it all your life, but now this moment's different. You say no to Jesus. Tragic. In Luke chapter 22, verse 2, Luke 22, 2, it says, "And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, possessed him, who was numbered among the 12. And so he went his way and conferred with the chief priest how he might betray Jesus." I'm going to ask you to write this down, and I think it's powerful. Judas is doing this for money. Maybe fame, maybe fortune, I don't know, maybe something, I don't know, but certainly for the money. But the question comes into our lives, what are we doing? What are our motives? And I want you to hear this. Listen, what we withhold from God can never be ours. Think of that. What we withhold from God can never be ours, and what we take from God, we can never own. I want you to think about that for a moment. What is Judas doing? We know from the Gospels, we'll read about it in a moment, he robbed the ministry of its money. The Bible said he did. We'll read it in a second here. So he robbed the ministry. He took it to himself. Okay? He tried to create his own life, his own world. He lived his life for himself. So think about that. What we withhold from God, meaning I'm not going to give my life to God, my life, and the things that surround my life, my attention, my energy, my affections, my ministry, time, money. I'm not going to give that to God. I'm going to withhold it from God. Well, guess what? It can never be yours. You say, are you silly? I have millions of dollars in the bank. And you don't have to have millions of dollars in the bank to be withholding from God. You can be a poor person withholding a nickel from God. It's equally bad. It's his. And so you're withholding, thinking, I've got it now. And the truth is, it can never really be yours. How do we enjoy and obtain and truly become rich? The truth is, by taking everything that you and I have and giving it back to him in heart or in deed. To understand that God owns the clothes you're wearing right now. Can he not bring a worm to eat my clothes this week? Huh? Honestly. There's nothing that you and I have that God didn't give to us. But then when God says, you know what? It's kind of like occupying a big place in your heart. Give it to me. Oh, no, I'm going to hold on to it. Well, guess what? The only way to keep it is if you give it back to me. But seeing how you're going to hang on to it, it will never really be yours. And what we take from God, as Judas knows, can never be owned. The Christian thinks this way. Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, listen, you will be saved.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called You and a Judas. It's actually a mini-series taken from part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22, which chronicles events in the final hours of the life of Jesus of Nazareth prior to his execution. Part of our teacher's verse-by-verse through this fascinating eyewitness account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, once we finish this chapter, we'll have just two to go before reaching the end of Luke's Gospel. If you've just recently joined us on a daily basis here on Real Radio, you may be interested in what we're currently making available. This entire series through Luke on two MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. It's comprised of 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack, and it's really a terrific way to internalize this first century historical narrative about Israel's Messiah. Go to realradioactive.org to learn more and to place your order. Just click where it says simply, The Gospel of Luke. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.